Good morning, everybody. I want to give you a little update on what's going on at the church. If you have not been able to go by, it looks a lot different on the inside. And I need you to be in prayer. God, we serve a God that can turn the heads of kings. He did it to Nebuchadnezzar. He did it to Pharaoh. And he can handle insurance adjusters. So be in prayer about that. They had in our contract a certain date that they would handle all issues, that all issues would be taken care of, and they notified Belinda and said, we've decided to extend that date. So they kind of do things however they want to do them. But you know what? I was reminded of a story in the Bible where Jesus is traveling through different towns, and he has his disciples with him, and there's one town that just treated them horribly and ran them out of town. And they got to the outskirts of town, and the disciples said, Lord, shall we pray that God rains down fire from heaven on their heads? And there's a part of me that wants to pray that. See how they feel with a fire in their home and insurance adjusters that won't call them back. But I didn't, because I'm a godly man. All right, we are continuing our messages in Proverbs, and we are in chapter 6. The Hebrew word for Proverbs is mashal, and it means sentences of ethical wisdom. Proverbs 1:1-2 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and doing what is right and just and fair. When God established his social network, how things were to be handled by his people in Israel, a lot of the laws that he gave them were to take care of those people who could not take care of themselves. He always had a stipulation for taking care of the poor and the needy in society. He said, if you have crops, do not glean all the way to the edges of your crops. Leave the outer edges for those to come and gather food who do not have food. He said, make sure you take care of the needy and the poor. Make sure, he made sure that everyone was to be taken care of. And according to his laws, if they lived according to his laws, the people would be taken care of. The problem is their hearts grew away from God, and the poor and the needy became outcasts. And they began to take advantage of them. And we're studying in Ezekiel that there was a lot of blood, innocent blood that was shed. There were a lot of people who were oppressed and not taken care of according to God's word. And that is one of the sins that he hated. He wanted all of his children to be taken care of. And so we are to learn how to be prudent in our behavior, doing what is right and just and fair with everybody. Not just the people we like, not just the people we want to hang around with, not just the pretty people, not just, you know, the people that are easy to get along to, but God puts those people who are difficult in your life so that we can learn how to be more like his son. I was in prayer one time, and I was thanking God for certain people in my life that I like. You know, if you don't have people in your life that you like, you're living a miserable existence. And so I was thanking God. I says, God, you know, thank you for the people that are encouraging, that are uplifting, that I've surrounded myself that build me up, and I can build them up as well. And then I began to think about certain people that, you know, you all have them. They kind of annoy you. Am I the only one that has people that annoy them? Seriously, people? But then I began to think about those people, and there's nobody in this room that falls into that category, not at all. But you know what? I started thinking about certain people, and there are certain people who I refer to as a thorn in the flesh. All they do is complain. They never have anything good to say. They can be backstabbers. They can be slanderers. Nothing is ever right with them. They're just complainers. And I have a hard time being around someone who does nothing but complain. And so I was thanking God for the people in my life that he's put there that I like. And he was saying, you know what, Jim, I give you those people to bring you joy. But I also bring the other people, the thorns in your flesh, so that you can learn to be more like my son, Jesus. When you look and compare the people who annoy you to the people who actually nailed Jesus to the cross, I am sure you would much rather have the person who is the thorn in your flesh. Anybody ever been nailed to the cross by your own people? Nope. But God gives us those people so that we can learn to love like he loves. Amen? So we are to learn. These are instructions on how to be prudent in doing what is fair and just and right. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, this is where we're going to start today. And it says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Now, that was kind of a way of opening a lot of things in Proverbs. There are six things that God hates and seven things that are detestable. It's just kind of a poetic way of introducing a list of things. But he says, these things are detestable to him. And I'm just going to read through the list, and then we're going to kind of break it down. Haughty eyes, which is proud. Haughty is proud. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So we're going to look at the very first one, haughty eyes. Now the Bible says that the eyes are the lamp to the body. There's another saying out there that says the eyes are the window to the soul. That's not in the Bible, but the eyes are a lamp to the body is in the Bible. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14, and learn a little bit about haughty eyes. It says, and this is God speaking to his people, Israel. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So I want to go back up to the very first part. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied. When you have eaten and are satisfied. Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain people that when they're hungry, they get hangry. They get a little edgy. It's like, oh, I'm starving to death. I have a daughter that says, my insides are eating itself. But really, in this culture that we live in, we really don't know true hunger. We don't know what it's like not to have a meal, to go hungry days upon days. And you know what? There may be some people in this country, but I think it's very, very rare that they don't have a meal every day. And it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I have eaten and I've been satisfied. I don't know what it's like to go hungry. I get hungry, but I don't know what true starvation is. And it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Remember, I've said this so many times, and it's an old Hebrew saying. If we receive a blessing from the Lord and we do not thank him for it, we've stolen it. To eat and be satisfied is a blessing from God. But how often are we appreciative of the very food that we have? How often are we appreciative of the homes that we go home to? How often are we appreciative of our families? See, what we do is we begin to take things for granted. I take for granted the fact that I can eat whenever I want or not eat when I don't want. Yet this says, I am to praise God when I have eaten and I've been satisfied. And that is a grateful heart. How often are we grateful for the small things in our lives? I made some killer biscuits and gravy yesterday. And I put Jimmy Dean maple flavored sausage in there. And it was, there's a new word that I use now. It was glorious. I actually use that word at work now when things work out and I work with heathens. And it's like, oh, it's glorious. And they'll go, amen. But these biscuits and gravy, I heard angels singing. And as I'm eating them, I'm going, Lord, these are really good. How many times have you, how many of you are coffee drinkers? You have to have your coffee in the morning. I have to have my coffee in the morning. How many times do you thank God when you take that very first sip? And you're just like, oh, this is glorious. And you thank God for it. It says, according to this verse, we should be thankful. We should praise him for the little things that we have in our lives. Otherwise, we're stealing those blessings. So we need to be praising God for those simple things, like eaten and satisfied. It says, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. How often do we complain about what we don't have? Man, I wish I had a better car. I am willing to trade my van to anybody for whatever car you drove in today. My van has 326,000 miles on the original motor. It's a miracle. It is. And I, you know what? When I get into that van every morning, I go, thank you, Lord, that this thing still runs. Thank you. I don't have a car payment. And I haven't had one for years. Would I like a new car? Yeah. But I don't want the insurance and the price that goes with it. And as long as my minivan, I mean, I look good in that minivan. But you know what? How often do we complain? Aaron's like, amen, I've seen him. But you know what? I am thankful for that minivan because it went into the shop. I know it's a shocker. It went into the shop yesterday, and Belinda and I have three vehicles, none of which have less than 200,000 miles on them. But we had three vehicles, and two of them were out of commission. So that means Belinda and I had one vehicle between us. And I'm thinking, I have to get up and go to church early with Belinda or walk. And we were able to get one of the vehicles back quickly from the mechanic. And it's like, thank you, Lord. He takes care of us in the little things. But how often do we just take them for granted and we're not grateful? Let's see. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks go large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. I have seen so many people who have come into New Hope struggling financially, struggling where they're at in their lives, struggling with circumstances, and the minute that those things pass, they're gone. It's amazing how many people show up in church when it's crisis time. And when the crisis is over, they forget about the Lord. And that's what God is saying. We have a tendency to get fat and happy. And when we get fat and happy, we forget about God. He becomes a smaller part of our lives. Why? Because it says here that our hearts become proud. Because then we start to put all of our eggs in one basket and we trust in our wealth. Or we trust in our ability to do things. And we stop looking to God for the answers. How many people come into church when their relationships, their spouses, and their marriage is on the rocks? Or their kids are completely out of control? Or they've lost their job and they don't know how to pay the bills? It's amazing how quickly they scamper to church. Well, I'll just try God. I'll just give him a shot. And I've had many people come to me and say, you know, I tried Jesus. You don't try Jesus. He's not a drug that you pop. You either serve him or you don't. And he will not serve you. He will not. And so we have a tendency when everything is going well, our prayer time kind of diminishes. We stop going to church and gathering with other people, encouraging one another. You just kind of, and it's not an intentional thing. It's just like, my priorities are different now. Things are going well. And you saw it in the Old Testament. The Jews, the Israelites, things would go well. God was blessing them. His hand was upon them. They began to multiply. They began to increase. They began to prosper. And then all of a sudden, they got fat and happy. Their hearts became proud. Their eyes became proud. And they began to forget God and his word. So then they start to go into disarray. And God says, you know what? If you're not going to follow me, I will remove my hand of protection and blessing from you. And then they end up in exile. They end up fighting other countries around them. They end up in bondage. They end up in slavery. And they're there for a while. And then they begin to cry out to God. God hears their prayers. He delivers them. He blesses them again. Everything is good. And then they begin to forget God. And then they begin to disobey his commands. And then they get overtaken by the enemy. And then they end up in dark places. And then they end up in slavery. And then they cry out to God. And once the time is up, he hears their prayers and he blesses them once again. And they do this. We do the same thing. Do we not? Seriously? I don't know one person that stays at the top all the time, except for Pastor Lee. That man is rock solid 24/7, 365. I ain't lying. Donzie? He's here. He's stuck there. He's a clock without a battery. And I admire that about him. Because I do this. Oh, everything's good. I'm good. I'm great. I'm good. Oh, crud. How did I get here? Oh, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Hey. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is awesome. God is awesome. I'm awesome. I am incredible. And oh, crud. Well, help me. Help me, God. And that's the reality. That's my reality. I don't know about you, but that's my reality. It's so easy to wander from God. If you are not walking steadfast with your eyes fixed on him, you will wander. It is in our heart, in our nature, to wander and do what we want to do. It is a piece of cake to follow Jim's desires. But it is not a good road. There ain't nothing good down that road. Nothing. So we have a tendency to forget him. We become proud in our own hearts, thinking, I can do this. I can do this. Look at all the gifts that I have. Look at my incredible abilities and talents. Who can resist such talent? Yet those talents were given to me by God. They're not mine. He gave them to me on loan so that I can glorify him. But when my heart becomes proud and my eyes become haughty, he can't use me. He will not use me. He can use a donkey. He can, and there's many times when I'm sure that God has said, Jim, you donkey. But we cannot forget and become proud of heart. Proverbs 21, verse 4, it says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produce sin. I don't know if any of you have ever driven to Seattle, and it's really that really pretty stretch where there's nothing but nothing. And then, but you'll look at the winter wheat or whatever, or the corn, or and there's all these cool rows, just, you know, and it's kind of pretty. But then you'll see one field that they're letting rest. And it's not plowed, it hasn't been disked, it hasn't been turned over, it hasn't been seeded, it's just left. And there's weeds growing up everywhere. And it just looks nasty compared to the other fields. Well, that's what this is talking about, the unplowed field of the wicked, our haughty eyes and a proud heart. When we have haughty eyes and a proud heart, our heart is like an unplowed field. And an unplowed field, an untaken care of field, will allow anything to grow. Anything. An unplowed field is at the mercy of whatever seeds blow into it. It's not taken care of. You don't pull the weeds. You just let everything go. It's kind of like the young people that have this saying, YOLO, you only live once. That is evidence of an unplowed field. You only live once mentality means, whatever. Whatever, wherever the wind blows, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever's popular, that's what I'm going to do, because you only live once. You do only live once. But you will stand accountable to a judge that will ask you, what did you do with that precious life that I gave you? Were you like an unplowed field? Or did you tend to your heart? Did you make sure that the weeds didn't grow up and choke out the good soil or the choke out the good plants? Did you tend the soil? Haughty eyes and a proud heart are the unplowed field of the wicked, and they produce sin. A field left to itself produces weeds. I've never seen a field left to itself turn into this incredible waving wheat with no weeds in it. It doesn't. It will choke out whatever is there that is good. How many of you have ever driven past Ellensburg? As you come around a canyon, I think a box canyon turn or whatever, right in Ellensburg, and you make that turn to go to the right on I-90, there used to be a little three-hole golf course there. I remember seeing it was a beautiful little, you know, just up and back, just a small little golf course. You drive by there right now, you cannot tell that there used to be a golf course there. I mean, it used to be immaculate. The greens were really nice. The fairways were really nice. You drive by there now, it has been unkept. It has been not taken care of, and it looks like everything else. The weeds have overtaken it. The scrub brush has overtaken it, and it is no longer a beautiful little course. Why? Because it has not been taken care of. You go by any one of these golf courses, and you just let it go, within a year, I'll bet you you would not know that it was a golf course. Because it's unplowed. It's not taken care of. And when we don't take care of our hearts and guard our hearts and guard our eyes, that's exactly what happens to our hearts. We become proud. Romans 12, verse 3. Actually, is that clock right? It's a little after 11? All right. I'm sorry. You're not getting any more out of me today. That is it. Angela, do you want to come up and bring up the... And the reason is because we have a emergency financial board meeting. We're going to do a walkthrough at the church and kind of make some decisions on what we're going to be doing. And be praying for Belinda. She is dealing with a lot of difficult people in her life, including myself. And, but there's just a lot of things. She's been calling the insurance company every day. They've chosen not to return her phone calls. So we're kind of up in the air right now as far as what the insurance company is going to do. So, we have to run over to the church and do a quick walkthrough and, make some decisions when we find out what's going to happen. I want to thank you for, continuing your tithes and your offerings, because it's been huge. It's amazing. It really is. It's awesome that we're not just a bunch of people that show up. We're family. We're all going through this together. It's been difficult, but you know what? It doesn't do anything to hurt our relationships. And I think that is awesome. And I think God is doing an incredible work here. And I know that he has everything in control and that he's going to take care of stuff. And whatever happens, it will be because it's his will. Because we have people praying, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. No matter what. If I have to pitch up a tent in the parking lot somewhere in the valley and just have a service there before we get kicked out, so yeah, we're not going to let them know. We're just going to set up. I've had it with rules and regulations and authority. Do you know what? It's God's work. It's his will, and that's the way it's going to be. So, but thank you. Keep praying. Turn the heads of those slimy insurance people. And I'm serious. I've prayed curses down before. And it was not pretty. It was awesome. But it was not pretty for the person that received the curse. And I don't know if you've heard the story of the curse. Anybody heard that story? Jan, I'm going to tell you the story of the curse really quickly here. My sister was married to this man, and he decided that he was going to move into his boss's mom's house to watch over the house. And then he would come back every once in a while. He had kids. He would come back and he'd say, oh, I need some money for blah, 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 blah. And she told me the story, and I says, he did not move in with his boss's mother's house. He moved out and he's moved in with another woman. And my daughter or my sister goes, nah, no. So I started asking her. I says, okay, who is this woman or whatever? Or is there somebody that the kids have kind of said, oh yeah, so-and-so showed up at this or that? And so they gave me a name. And I looked up the name, and we were leaving my mom's house, and she lived up in the Ponderosa. So we drove by there. It was snowing and about an inch of snow on the ground. And so we drove up to this address, and we drove in front of the window at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, and it was dark. And the windows, the curtains were open, and there inside, sitting on the couch with his arm around another woman, was my brother-in-law. And I got mad. And I didn't even think. It just came out of my mouth. And I said, Lord, if he's doing anything that he is not supposed to be doing, I pray that you would give him a rash on his bonk. And I didn't say bonk. And I got a phone call from my sister 2 days later. And she goes, oh, yeah, Don just called and he needs some more money. I said, oh, what's it for this time? And she says, well, he went down to the clinic today and he has a rash. And it's on his bonk. So he has to buy all new underwear. And so I told her what I had said. And she went, do you have any more curses? Now, that is not a power that I have. It was spoken by God, I believe. Do not come up and ask me or pay me to curse people. But that is my story, and there are plenty of witnesses and medical documents to back up the story. So God can turn the hearts of kings. He is in charge of everything, no matter what we see, no matter how we feel about it. It's his church, and he's the head of this church, and he's in charge. So we do what we can do, and we let him do what we can't do. Amen? Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that we can gather. We thank you for this place that we are able to gather in, Lord Jesus. And Lord, during the difficult circumstances of what's going on North Boone or North Argonne, Lord, we know that you are in control. You can turn the heads of kings. We pray that you would give us favor so that we continue to do the work that you have called us to do, Lord Jesus. And if it's not in that place, so be it. But we will continue on to fighting the good fight, standing firm. And Lord, we just place all things in your hands. Help us not to have haughty eyes or a proud heart, not to forget the things that you have done, the things that you do each and every day that we take for granted. Help us to have grateful hearts, Lord, so that we can be fully used by you for your glory. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week.